Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast here on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Guard. I will be your host for this holiday special edition of the First Pitch Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Happy 4th of July to all of you in the U.S. of A and to all of you outside of the U.S. Happy Saturday. Thanks for joining us here. Let's get into everything baseball related from Friday, July 3rd. We will start with the news and notes here. As always, headline news coming out of New York. Carlos Rodon will officially hit the 15-day IL with left elbow inflammation, which is really concerning anytime it's the elbow. And that's Rodon's lefty, of course, so that's the southpaw one. Very concerning there. No word on the severity of the injury just yet. We'll, of course, update you as we get the info. Julio Rodriguez officially hits a 7-day concussion IL after a collision from the day prior. Shohei Ohtani leaves the game with right bicep tightness. This may end up being the headline news, not necessarily based on the severity of the injury, but the status of the player, the social status, that is. Shohei, come on. But he will miss the game today. Probably will go for a testing, but likely a precaution. Byron Buxton out of the game yesterday will be questionable for the game today. He's been dealing with a hip impingement, so his status is still a little bit up in the air in the series against New York. A couple rehab starts, though. Here's some nice news. Mike Trout still can come back above for the All-Star break. He was doing some drills, participating in practices. He's looking like he's around the corner. It's going to be within the next couple of weeks, whether that's before or after the All-Star break. Should be seeing Mike Trout sometime here in mid to early July. And Ryan Jeffers makes a rehab appearance as well. So the future Yankees catcher is doing pretty well in AAA. Actually had a great day at the plate. But transactions to note: Hunter Green is going to be activated after a long dramatic injury stint at the beginning of the year. He is back. He is ready. He is going to blow the roof off with fastballs, although I believe he'll probably be a little bit upset. He isn't the hardest thrower in the National League Central anymore. Still, Hunter Green activated. He will be starting today. So that's the news and notes. Nothing too major, depending on who you are, at least. We will now move on to the notable performances, starting with the hitters. My top hitter of the day is going to be Kyle Stowers. Great day at the plate for someone that has struggled and was injured to start the year, a little bit of a slow start. Great outing here. Great day here. Outings are for pitchers. 4-for-4, 2 home runs, raises the OPS on the year to 787. There's not too much to say here. When I do this show, I look at two things for the top hitter. I look at who is the most total bases, pretty much, effectively, or, you know, unless there's some storyline or anything like that. But I look at who has the most total bases, just the most production at the plate. And then I also look, you know, how many plate appearances did they have? Did they get on base every single time? I just like that a lot. For Stowers, 4-for-4, 2 home runs, absolutely my top hitter. Joining him as getting some flowers here is Otto Lopez, 2-for-5 with a stolen base, continuing his excellent year. Nick Kurtz went 2-for-4 with a home run and a walk. Jackson Merrill goes 2-for-4 with the home run. Ketel Marte goes 2-for-5 with the stolen base. Bryce Terang, in a long dramatic game, went 3-for-6. Caleb Durbin went 1-for-3 with a home run and a walk. He is continuing a rebound after a devastating start to the year. Wilson Contreras goes 2-for-4 with a walk. Junior Caminero continuing a crazy hot start, or a crazy hot week and a half for him. 1-for-4 with a home run. Jake McCarthy maybe should have been the hitter of the day, but he goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and a stolen base in Coors Field. But McCarthy continuing to make StatCast his enemy. Ezekiel Tovar goes 3-for-4 with a home run. Rafael Devers hits a huge home run to cut the lead to 42 as he goes 2-for-4. Juan Soto goes 2-for-4 with a home run and a walk. Soto's has an OPS of like 971, and no one's talking about it because the Mets are so putrid right now. But I mean, if you drafted Juan Soto, you're getting the production you expected. Matt Olson went 2-for-3 with a pair of home runs and a walk in the big win over the Mets. Drake Baldwin, though, 0-for-4. And get this, since coming back from the IL, Drake Baldwin is hitting 085, striking out 38% of the time, and his xWOBA is just 212. So Baldwin hitting at the top of the Braves lineup still is not helping matters at all. Michael Harris the second goes 2-for-4 with a home run. He is helping matters. Miguel Vargas goes 2-for-3 with a home run in a walk in the White Sox second walk-off in as many days against the walk-off loss, I should say, in as many days to the Guardians. Cody Clemens goes 2-for-4 with a home run. Trent Grisham goes 2-for-3 with a home run. Edmundo Valdez continues to be great for the Pirates, 3-for-5. Connor Griffin goes 2-for-4 with a walk, doing quite nicely since coming back from the IL. And finally, Luis Garcia Jr. goes 2-for-4 with a pair of home runs and a walk. A lot of home runs days. The Nationals offense did really well. 3-for-4 with a 2 home runs is Dalen Lyle as well. So just a lot of long balls in that Nationals game. And the entire Cardinals offense. I think it'd be really funny. Imagine you're a Chicago kid taking your dad to a game or vice versa, and you show up and it's a 4th of July weekend on a nice Friday afternoon. You go to Wrigley Field, you sit down, you watch the game, and the Cardinals light you up for 17 runs, 17 hits, 3 home runs, 4 walks. You know, that's baseball season. Be sure to check out the Daily's BatterBox article for more information on all these hitters and then some. I'm going to take a short, probably much needed break, and we will come back with the starters, the reliever report, and my preview of today's games. See you in a second. Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast here on the Pitchless Podcast Network. We now move on to the starting pitchers, starting with my pitcher of the day, which after much deliberation is going to be Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease, which it feels a little wrong considering he pitches in Canada, but you know, I think we'll be fine. Cease goes 7 innings, no earned runs, 3 hits, 9 Ks, 1 walk on 102 pitches, 14 whiffs, 33 CSW percent, BPLV grade. This is an outing that was surprisingly efficient, certainly by Dylan Cease standards, and just got the job done. I don't have too much to say about this start. It was effective. He located reasonably well. Pitch modeling liked it. Got probably a little fortunate on the box score, but absolutely able to carve up the opposing lineup. It's a great start from Dylan Cease, and it's a great first half for Dylan Cease. We'll see how he continues it in the second. Ryan Feltner went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 9 Ks, no walks on 88 pitches. Got 17 whiffs. Get this, 42 CSW percent. As he was not only to get the swing and miss, but he was able to get a lot of called strikes as well in Coors Field. I don't think Feltner is a great candidate for, you know, any real rostering and all but the very deepest of leagues. Still, B-minus PLV grade, doing it in Coors Field and against a San Francisco Giants lineup that I'm not going to tell you was good, but I will tell you was quite pesky. And those 2 earned runs already came way after the Rockies had already established that they are going to win this game. That was the Devers home run from earlier. Feltner, great outing. Absolutely fantastic outing. Logan Webb did not have a great outing. 3 innings, 7 earned runs, 11 hits, 2 Ks, 2 walks on 76 pitches. 8 whiffs, 17 CSW percent. Can say a lot about this, but it's a Coors Field. I feel like he just got Coorsed. It's kind of my thoughts here. It sucks because it was an amazing month of June for Logan Webb, and you think, okay, he's coming back. This is the caliber of pitcher you were hoping for when you drafted him in like the third, fourth, fifth round in shallower leagues. Rough outing here, but you know, Coors Field, things happen. We'll see if it persists. Pitch modeling didn't like it, but pitch modeling kind of never likes Logan Webb, which, you know, is sort of, I don't really know how to feel about that, if I'm being honest with you, but he's a weird pitcher, right? He's a ground ball pitcher. Sometimes those things can fall through the cracks. Anyway, Kyle Harrison, 2 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 Ks, 1 walk, 72 pitches. Seems really shallow. It wasn't because he was hurt. Pulled after 38 pitch third inning that he didn't even finish. So yeah, one of those instances where it was just really long and they didn't want to play almost a 40 pitch inning. Cheapers. A-minus PLV grade. The stuff was nice. The locations, everything seemed to grade out decently well. Just got knocked around a bit, and they mercy took him out of the game. Didn't seem to end up hurting the Brewers in the end. Reed Detmers went 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 5 Ks, 3 walks on 104 pitches, 17 whiffs, 30 CSW. Guys, I swear he's good. Please listen to me. I swear he's good. He's good. I don't know why it's always Reed Detmers this happens to. I mean, maybe it's just he plays for the Angels and thus God smites him. But yeah, this B PLV grade, got the whiffs. The CSW is great. 5 earned runs on the 5 innings. Baseball. Shohei Ohtani went 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 9 Ks, 2 walks on 110 pitches, 15 whiffs, 27 CSW percent, does raise his ERA, but still BPLV grade. You can't be upset with this if you're an Ohtani owner. You can't be upset with Shohei Ohtani at all, let's be honest with you. But yeah, this is okay. I mean, you love the strikeouts, you love the walks, the lack of walks. There is, just hope he is okay with the bicep issue. Should be fine. Gerrit Cole goes 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 7 Ks, no walks, 88 pitches on 8 whiffs and 34 CSW percent against my Minnesota Twins. Extremely weak lineup he was facing, even by Twin standards. Byron Buxton out of here. I mean, if you look at who was in there, not great. Twins have been a good lineup, but like, they were really good in the month of June, but I'm not too impressed with this out of Gerrit Cole. I mean, you know, he's trying to home run I'll spare you the Twins talk. That's for my father later. Foster Griffin goes five innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 Ks, 1 walk on 83 pitches, 9 whiffs, 25% CSW. I don't know how to feel about this one. It's nice that he leaves the runs off the board. Griffin isn't the guy necessarily that's going to rack up the swings and miss or the strikeout totals. Still, 2 strikeouts, 9 whiffs. Gross. I don't know how to feel about that. And sometimes I don't know how to feel about a start. And you just got to say that is certainly someone who pitched a baseball that day. That's going to be the starting pitchers. Not a lot of incredible performances, a lot of crooked numbers put up by a lot of pitchers, but still, those are the most notable performances. Give the Plus Pitch Podcast a listen and check out Nick and Jake's daily SP roundup to know more about all these pitchers. And then some, we now move on to the reliever report, where I give you a overview of the saves and who blew it from yesterday's games. David Bednar and Rossiel Iglesias both picked up their 17th saves of the year. I think fans of those two are whelmed by their performances so far this year. I think it's fair to say. Tyler Wells technically picks up his first save of, or does pick up his first save of the year. Gabriel Hughes technically picks up his first save of the year. He pitched 3 innings in relief. That gets you a save because save rules are weird. Brian Baker picks up his 23rd save of the year before the All-Star break for the Rays, which is sensational. He is closing in on a 35 save pace. And Aroldis Chapman picks up his 17th save of the year, and most notably becomes the all-time strikeout leader for relievers. I can pull this up right now. I believe it was his 1,364th strikeout in his MLB career. So congrats to the hardest thrower of all time, until Mizorowski takes a round next. Tanner Scott gets his 12th save of the year for the Dodgers, has picked up that role really well. And Louis Varland picks up his 18th save of the year. Speaking of guys who've picked up a role well, Varland is untouchable in Toronto right now. Who blew it from yesterday's games? Adrian Morejon blew it. 1 inning came in after a couple hits were allowed by a couple base runners were allowed by Michael King. 1 inning he pitched, allowed 4 runs, 2 of which were earned by himself, 2 of which earned by Michael King, so blowing a nice outing from him. He allows a grand slam off Teoscar Hernandez, 2 hits, 2 walks. Morejon allows the Dodgers to get 4 runs. They would end up winning 4-3. Check out Rick Graham's weekly articles to know more about these relievers and then some as we now move forward to looking at the full slate of games for today. Orioles at the Reds is the first game I want to highlight. It is Brandon Young at versus Hunter Green. Brandon Young versus Green. It's going to be the season debut to Green. Do you start him? I would say probably not, but your mileage may vary. The Mets at the Braves. Sean Manaea versus Chris Sale. Can Manaea duel against one of the greatest to ever do it? And Sale quietly having a fantastic year. He is not going to win the NL Cy Young very likely based on volume and based on Mizorowski going insane. But he absolutely is someone who may end up very well, end up a Cy Young finalist, as a just been phenomenal with the Braves. You guys remember when they traded for him and gave up Vaughn Grisham, who's done like nothing for the Red Sox? Boston fans, Boston sports fans, you guys don't deserve very much more. I mean, as a Minnesota fan, you guys have had your share, but still, I feel for you at least in this part department. Moving on from my ramblings, the White Sox at the Guardians, Sean Burke versus Parker Messick. Should be an interesting outing between two young arms in the AL Central. But my game of the day, I think, is a really excellent matchup. If you want some 4th of July fireworks on the mound, Rays at the Astros, Rasmussen versus Hunter Brown. This should be a really excellent start. Two guys that have, at the moment at least, sub-3 ERAs. Hunter Brown, of course, only made his debut in June, but still, hard-throwing fastball. Pitchers, these guys are really excellent, and a lot of good pesky hitters in there as well. And can Junior Caminero continue? Should be a fun game. But that's going to be my game of the day, and that's going to be the First Pitch podcast today. For a deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitchlist.com for further access. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord PLB apps to support the Pitchlist staff. Finally, my name is Carson Picard. You can find me on the Shallows podcast with my great co-host Eric Hendrickson, as well as on the website formerly known as Twitter at Carson Picard PL. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weekends. Happy 4th of July to all my Yankee listeners. That's Yankee America, not the baseball team, but you guys too. Bless the knees, bless the elbows. Take care, you guys.